Guess that octave higher is why I ruptured a vocal cord while I was trying to do that. All right. That was a negative thing to start off with, wasn't it? I'm sorry. You know, yeah. You're more negative than me. Now I feel really, really good. Okay. I think we're done with that, so let's move on. Wow, good to see you all tonight, and just great to be here. You're a great congregation. And someone was asking me, I was at Shady Acres over in Sykeston this morning. My voice is a lot better. That's why I have my water with me. I about lost it this morning. I don't know why, but one of those weird things. But they asked me, how's the congregation over there? Weren't they pretty low at one time? I said, yeah, and then Jim Fawn showed up. Just made a bunch of friends and just helped grow the congregation. He got it kick-started, and then with the help of a lot of good men and women who are longtime members, I'm talking to many of you, you probably are very gratified to see what's happened over the years. I said they're pushing 200 in attendance. I think maybe I'm wrong with the number, you know, when I said when you got here, maybe 75, 80 or something, I don't know. But the numbers were down here, right? This congregation. I don't know. Yeah, here. Oh, whoa, okay. All right. So I gave you more credit than, as a congregation, than you deserve. Okay, so, but no, I was just talking about what a great congregation you all are, and how things are going well here. And, you know, this is one of the congregations in our support group that I really and genuinely look at as being a real family. And, of course, Adam has perpetuated that, you know, your whole family. And just everybody here, you all, when I come here, you greet me as though you know me. that's supposed to be a joke. I had to say it was a joke to get a laugh, so, you know, the joke itself wasn't funny. But I want you all to know, before I get started tonight with PowerPoint and an updated version of what's going on in the Philippines, we really appreciate these cards that you send. Who was it that handed me this card? Back in the back here. Well, she must have left. Okay. whoever it was gave me this card and said, well, here, I'll just give it to you. We won't have to send it this time. These cards that you all write personal notes in, they go to the lady that handles our money in Dixon, Tennessee. They don't come directly to us, but she does take a picture and scans it, and so we read the notes, and I want you to know that we really appreciate everything that's said. Now, I try to read everyone's handwriting, okay? I don't always make it out, but a couple of them in here. My favorite one here on this one is by Crystal Howell. We have several Filipinos here in the U.S. They're very interesting people, love them. And everyone I know who is an American who knows Filipinos or works with Filipinos here in the U.S., and probably some of you have, I'm seeing a nod here, you know they're very loving, serving, accommodating people. They never complain. They just do their work quietly, and they're great team players. Great support personnel. And so that's what we find as well as a culture. They're just some of our favorites. And so we love them because they love us more. Linda Sandifer writes, we give thanks for all God accomplishes with your help. Now, I am proof that God can put a warm body and half a brain in place and do a lot with it, okay? That's not a total joke, by the way. Because, you know, we're not perfect people. We don't always make good decisions and judgments. We don't always do the right thing, but we go in with good intentions to do that. And I am a great believer that God will make something good out of a bad decision made with good intentions. And so we do that a lot. So God's providence prevails. The growth of the church perpetuates and continues there. And so we just love you all so much. Of course, the Grazianos, who have been heavily involved in our work as far as mission trips and kids coming and all. So we'd like to get the whole family there sometime. You know, I know that'd take $1,000 or $2, so to do that. And we would love to have that happen. Okay, where's my clicker? Is this it? Okay. And where do I point it back there to click and advance? Okay. All right, it's more fun in the Philippines. I have a monitor here. This is great. That's the national slogan, by the way. And I tell people when you come to the Philippines, we'll bring Americans over. I usually do some kind of initiation or not initiation, what do you call it? Like an introductory get together and informative session and so on. I tell people, if you don't have fun with Filipinos, you're a dud. Just stay home. Don't go back. Don't go anywhere else. You don't want to dampen someone else's spirits, because if you can't have fun with Filipinos, you can't have fun, period. They are just, they love to laugh and sing and have fun, and it's just a joy to be in their presence. We are Dale and Karen Byram. You're looking on the right there at the, not only my better half, but better looking half of the marriage. Karen could not be here tonight. We've just got some family situations that have gone on starting about 2.5 years ago, which I won't elaborate or detail, but you know some of those things. And so because of that, we're involved in some ways. One of us has to take over and do some things while the other one's out doing what I'm doing. And so Karen is down in Murfreesboro tonight. She's taking care of the grandsons tomorrow. I will relieve her tomorrow so she can come home, and I'll be there Tuesday. And so that's our situation. But as Noah mentioned, we do typically, usually when things are typical and usual and no real hiccups in life and the family and so on, I'm spending about 6-7 months of the year in the Philippines. Karen comes with me. Typically, she hasn't been able to go, David, since that trip you all took 3 years ago. And so there are reasons for that, but she's looking to get back. She'll go with me, but will not stay as long as I need to stay to do the work. As you look at the map here, you'll see this circle drawn around the top third of the Philippines. The bottom of that circle is where Manila is. Manila is a city of 14 million people. Slightly larger than Metropolis and Paducah put together, and Sikeston and Nashville and Louisville and just, you know, all our cities in America. It's a huge place and just congested with people. But there's a lot of opportunity there. I don't mind the big city. I was raised in a big city, Columbus, Ohio. When I left there and we moved south, I went immediately to Lipscomb to school at Nashville. I'm a city guy. I know how to run around. I'm not intimidated by the city. Some people are. Karen doesn't like it at all. And so when we go there, we typically try to go out in the province with her because that's where she likes to do her work. And so there's a lot of opportunity there in Manila, and we do work with a congregation there and a couple of people in that congregation who are in our ministry team. Oh, by the way, we're overseen by the Walnut Street Church in Dixon, Tennessee. A sideline here, this is the best. Grandparenting is the greatest. I took this picture a couple of years ago, but it's still one of my favorites. I don't have a better one that I like. I don't have one I like better, I'll put it that way. But this is our 10-year-old granddaughter right there in the middle, and our two grandsons, brothers who are 6 and 7 years old, and they are all such a joy. All right, we support, and when I say we, God, through us, supports 12 family units and 2 singles in 11 locations in that circled area where you see all these arrows now. I will randomly refer to these places as we go along. You will not remember any of this. I'm just showing you a bunch of arrows in places we work, okay? There are 11 of them here. And on our trips, we try to meet with each set of workers if we have the time to do so, because we have to travel around quite a bit to get to these people. And even though it may not be a distance to travel, it certainly is a process. And so it's a third world country, and traveling can be time consuming more than we have here. But we try to listen to their accomplishments, issues, grievances, financial needs, so we can mentor, instruct, counsel, and facilitate. And secondly, I will preach and teach. I'll kind of jump in once in a while, not on a regular basis, because as David knows, our Filipino guys are some of the best preachers anywhere, and not just in the Philippines. They really are grounded, they're solid, they're good speakers, they present well, and they're just so well-spoken. They don't really need me to do a lot of teaching and preaching, although I do some. But I don't do it everywhere, and I don't expect to everywhere I go. But if I see what I believe is a perceived need, something I can teach on that they'll listen to from an older guy, age and experience is supposed to bring about wisdom. I don't know about wisdom. I know I have a lot of the first two. But try to acquire some of that so we can help out with congregational issues along the way. If I don't see anything that's a real particular need, I'll usually step aside and let the preachers do the work, do the preaching and teaching. But that's typically what we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I've shown you this before. I show this all the time to everybody, our supporters. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. He gets all the honor, credit, and glory for everything that happens, through us, because of us, in spite of us, whatever. But verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one. And you may remember that I've said that word one in the original language, to the best of my ability to be able to decipher, that it means that we are all of equal, we all are of equal importance in the kingdom. None of us is more important than the other. And so those who send are no less important than those of us who go. Even though I'm the face of the work, in our work in particular, that doesn't make me more important at all. God just plugs us in and places us and uses us in ways to His glory, according to our abilities and where we are compatible. And so we're grateful for that. But I take that verse and say, he who sends and he who goes are one. And we are. You all are a vital part of what we do. I won't read all of this, but our mission statement is simply, we are church planters. And we plant congregations where they do not exist. And we try to do two things primarily. Number one, we ground them in the faith with solid doctrine. And number two, we develop leadership so they can eventually be self-supporting. And in the process of all that, we're more interested in conversions, not just baptisms. And so that's why before we baptize anyone, if we have the opportunity and time, we will teach them what God expects of them on the other side of baptism. The commitment they're actually making to God when they're baptized into Christ. Or if they want to be baptized right away and quickly, we do follow-up teaching to teach them those things as well. So in either case, we do that, and that's why we're able to keep a pretty significant percentage of the people that come to Christ. Okay, this is my favorite slide in my whole presentation. This is the one I put in every time, and I'll never change it, I don't think. The future of the Lord's church in the Philippines is bright because of her young people. It is the 35-year-olds and under who are the driving impetus of the church in the Philippines. They're on fire. Filipinos don't like to be alone. They like to congregate. They like to collect. They like to be together. They like to do everything together. It doesn't matter what they do. They don't want to do it alone. And so they kind of walk in lockstep with each other. They get together as a group and just informally, casually decide what they want to do that day, where they want to go. It's Monday morning there right now, but as I spoke in Sykeston this morning, I told him, I said, some of our brethren are going to bed and some are still fellowshipping. The church in Metro South in Manila, when they meet for worship at 9 o'clock and Bible study, they finish about 11:30, 12 o'clock. Then they have a lunch fellowship every Sunday in the building there. They put away the chairs and they put out tables and they buy food and they bring food. And so they have a lunch fellowship. Then they'll just sit and hang out for a while. They have a ping pong table, so they might play ping pong. Or they'll do other things. They'll sing songs or do a Bible study, have Bible discussions. Everything to them is spiritually connected. If they get tired of that, they'll go out to a coffee shop somewhere. They'll say, hey, let's go to Highlands Coffee, which is a Vietnamese, popular coffee place. So they go out and they'll hang out 2 or 3 or 4 hours there. Then they might say, well, let's go to the mall. Mall of Asia is the third largest mall in Asia, 40 acres under roof. They'll go and just hang out there. They don't necessarily buy anything. They just go hang out. They just love to be together. And they might go to a movie. And then they might go back to the chapel, the church building, and hang out till midnight, then decide we're tired, we're going to go home. And so they love to be together. And it is the youth that are really the driving impetus of all that. Alan Reagan, I've skipped here. Alan Reagan is our missions committee chairman in the Philippines, or from Walnut Street, sorry. He made his first trip to the Philippines a year ago, last week in March, first week in April. It was very enlightening to him and productive. One thing about Walnut Street is they are a very involved congregation. About 40% or more of their budget goes towards mission work. And they always send people to the places they support or oversee. And every missions committee chairman I've had, and I've had three in 16 years, have always gone with us to wherever we work. And Alan did that and just had a great time. And so here we are gathered on the left with 2 or 3 preacher families. As I say, they love to be together. This is on Sunday afternoon after worship. And then we went out and we walked across the river on this bridge you're looking at. By the way, there's something very interesting. This bridge right here, see that material? That is metal tracking material that the Americans used in World War II to lay down on the sand when the vehicles came in, the military vehicles hit the beach and could land and crawl across the sand. And when they left and the war ended, they left it all there on the beach. So even now, you see that it's really thick and heavy metal. It doesn't rust real easily, and they use it for bridges like this, walking bridges. They'll use it for fencing. Everywhere you go in the Philippines, you'll see this material that the Filipinos have utilized over 70 years later. And it's just amazing. So that walking bridge, they used it to make the floor of the bridge. Alan visited Reina Mercedes and the Padre Sapis congregations. I'll tell you more about them later. Manny and Joyce Buisan, and I'm skipping around. Manny and Joyce Buisan work just outside of Manila, northeast of Manila, and they work with 4 congregations, and they develop leadership to supply men and women to work in those congregations. but right now, and while they're in that process and over the past couple of years, if you go there on a weekend, you'll evangelize all day Saturday. You'll come in late on Saturday, and you'll finally eat dinner and go to bed about 11 or 12. Get up early Sunday morning, worship with their mainstay congregation, which is this one here, Kasiglahan. And then you'll go out to 3 other congregations. And I know when I preach in the morning and evening, and Adam, you know this, and all preachers do, we're worn out when we get done, right? But we have air conditioning and padded pews, and, you know, we don't sit on plastic chairs or concrete or no air conditioning and 90-degree heat all day, okay? So there is that element to it. And when you get done, you're pretty worn out. But this is their mainstay congregation. Here I am meeting with them at a restaurant, just talking about the work and so on. Now, Joyce does a tutorial program that has brought several parents and whole families to Christ. She takes kids from the community she has. She can only take 20. She can accommodate that and teach them English, conversational English, basic life skills, things like math and spelling. Just common things like that, good manners, behavior, so on. And through that, we are reaching the parents of these children and converting them to Christ. And then developing that leadership so they can perpetuate the work. So that's what's happening. And she's doing very well. I mentioned Metro South, the congregation in Manila. They sit in the busiest part of Manila, where the airport is, the Mall of Asia I mentioned earlier. It's where that mall is. It's in that area. And so it's really kind of the busiest place in all of Manila. And they are there. And they purchased their first property in 36 years of existence, about 6 years ago, thanks to a large contribution by a congregation nearby where I live, between Franklin and Bowling Green, Woodburn Church Christ, they had never owned their own property for 36 years. So every two or three years when they had to change rented properties, they get kicked out and have to go somewhere else. It just set them back every time. They never could really gain any momentum as a congregation and grow like they wanted to. But once they got this property, it started to happen. So you can see here, that was the only room they had in the property. Now they have four stories on this property because they couldn't go out either way. There are businesses on each side and on the back of the building. They can't go out. And they only own the property underneath them that's equal to the size of the room inside. And if you step out the front door of the building and you step out 3 feet, you're in the street. So you can't go that way either. The only way you can go is up, and that's what they did. They've gone up 3 stories, and that bottom part that you saw a picture of a minute ago, that's their parking area. The second floor is the chapel area. The third floor, about half of it, has to be half because it's a mezzanine area, a balcony, because they're growing and they want to accommodate more people. And so they have that. And then the fourth story are living quarters for an assistant preacher that will come, and even with his wife, that they can live there and have all the facilities available. They've got a baptismal area, and they can split up and do classroom situations on Sundays. This is JV, the preacher at Metro South, and his family, Nora Faye on the right, Shekinah, his daughter on the left. She's a Christian now, and he's holding Ezekiel, who was born a couple of years ago, and Hezekiah on the left was just born back in November. So I didn't get a picture of him with them together. I left before he was born. I was a little bit upset with Nora Faye. My birthday is November 23rd. I said, couldn't you wait one more day? You know, she said, I was ready to have that baby. I said, yeah, that's what I hear from most women. So anyway, okay, Sarah Van Ogon, she's very near and dear to us. She's like a daughter. This young lady is full-time, and we're breaking new ground with her, even though she's been with us for 5 years. When we took her on in a full-time capacity, we didn't really know what we were going to do with her, what her strengths and weaknesses were, what she liked to do, and so on. We're just trying to figure out where God wanted her to work. And God has led her in a great way to do a lot of things. And she does a lot of what we call cleanup work or residual things that need to be done that nobody else can do, but she can because she helps us logistically in a lot of ways. But she also has her own spiritual ministry, and mainly she focuses on modesty and sexuality and what true love is. She works with teen girls and young professional women to teach them you don't need a boyfriend, you don't have to hurry up and push to get married or get pregnant and have a baby, to identify who you are, because your identity is in Christ. And so you don't have to give yourself in inappropriate ways or unscriptural ways, because you are complete already in Christ. And so she's just an amazing young lady. She looks like she's 16 here, but she's 30 years old, and she's just doing an amazing work. And when we go there, and if we're in Manila and Karen goes with me and I have to go out somewhere to do some travel somewhere to do work in other places, and Karen doesn't go with me, she's scared to death of Manila, and she should be. I don't want her roaming out by herself. So we leave Sarah with her, and she's fine. So Sarah fills a lot of places. I want to tell you about this young man in the back in the white short sleeve shirt. He's not a member of our team as far as support goes, but he is a recent convert. About 3 years ago, he was converted to Christ. He was working with a large mega denominational church in Manila. He was one of the young leaders there. He was a great speaker. He just did a lot of work. He's very eager. He's zealous, has a lot of energy. And so he had a question about once saved, always saved. And he asked his pastor about it. He said, that just doesn't line up with me biblically. And he says pastor gave him an answer without an ounce or even a letter of the Bible involved in any of that answer. So that didn't satisfy him. Long story short, His mother, who works as an overseas Filipino worker, OFW, in London, England, found Gospel Broadcasting Network and Memphis School of Preaching online and kind of linked that out to Adrian, Dre we call him, and Dre investigated, linked up with Aaron Gallagher on video chat. They actually talked, and Aaron satisfied him, and Dre said, I've asked a lot of people this question, and you're the only one talking to Aaron that has answered this with the Bible, because that's the only way you can answer it. And so Aaron, or someone with Gospel Broadcasting Network, somehow found out about Metro South, linked him with a congregation. He and JV linked up. JV did further studies with him. He was baptized into Christ, and all he wants to do is evangelize. He wants to go to preaching school. He wants to go to Memphis School of Preaching because that they were kind of instrumental in helping him understand more about Scripture and doctrine. And so he feels kind of an indebtedness to them. But he's just an amazing young man. He's 36 years old and just on fire for Christ. He's just out teaching and baptizing. Works a secular job, but he spends all the time he can in ministry. Another program that was implemented in the Philippines by the national government of the Philippines a couple of years ago, they mandated that every government office from the highest national level down to the lowest local level would receive values education utilizing the Bible. And so they started certifying these chaplains, trying to find a bunch of chaplains to do this in government offices. And if you're a government worker, no matter what level you're on, you're obligated to sit there and listen to these lessons, which they're happy to do, because they are somewhat of a religious people. So we started with our preacher guys, we started encouraging them to become chaplains so they could go do this, because the national government said, now while you're inside the parameters of the program, you're not allowed to preach any particular doctrine. You know, you and I know what that means. But outside of the program on your own time, if you want to contact these people because you want to do Bible studies with them or whatever you want to do, then that's fine. And they tell all their chaplains that, so we want to fill up the chaplaincy with members of the church, right? Well, we found out, too, they take young ladies or ladies, they take females as chaplains as well to work with women and so on, and young people. And so Sarah is the one that found out about this. She got 12 Metro South members to take the course and go through this whole process. And here they are being sworn in one day all at once. And we have converted whole families out of this program. This is where John Ray on the left is talking to a group of young people. Sarah spoke to that same group that same day. Because if you receive any government financial or benevolent assistance of any kind, you are required to attend these sessions, and if you don't, you don't get the assistance. Okay, I like that. I'd like to see that done here. Fat chance, right? but it's just a great program that the national government mandated, so we pretty much have a lot of freedom and latitude to do a lot of different things in this, and we have. It's just a great thing going on. Mark Ebenezer is one of my former preacher students. We call him Miko. He's now married, started this Santa Barbara congregation 5 years ago, just doing a great job. One of the singles, the other single that we support is this young man in the forefront, Jason Abrera. I knew Jason when he was a little kid of about 3 years old, because I knew his mother, who worked at Philippine Theological College where I used to teach. She still works there after 20-something years, but this is her son, this is her third son. She had four sons. The older one got killed by a hit-and-run driver a year and a half ago. Sad situation, but this one here, he's in nursing school, and we're helping to pay his tuition, because one of the things we're about is helping to give a hand up, not a hand out, so they can then get on their own feet, support themselves, support the church, and become self-propagating in the process. And so we're helping Jason through school. But on the weekends, he's out evangelizing at Santa Barbara on Saturdays, he'll gather young people around, sit them out under the shade or under a mango tree, and study the Bible and teach them how to become Christians. Here he is baptizing a teen girl into Christ on a recent trip I was on. Here's an older lady, 64 years old. We walked into her place of business, and she had already been studied with two or three times. We walked in. I was there on the trip, so we walked in to a follow-up study, and that was the day she was baptized. She said, "The Church of Christ is what I've been looking for all my life and have never found. Now here I'm in my 60s, and because you're the only group that teaches strictly from the Bible and nothing else," she said, "that's simple and pure, and it's what I've always been looking for. Praise God." They do Saturday evangelism, Sunday morning kids class and worship, followed by lunch fellowship, and this is the congregation there after 5 years. Mark Abrera is Jason's brother, and Mark is married with a little girl here, Tabitha, and she and I are just like this. And when she sees me, she just runs to me and just hugs me. Brother Dale, you know, it just melts me. She doesn't know me yet, but she likes me now. But Mark is attending Heritage Bible College up in Baguio City, and so we're supporting him there. He'll finish in April, and he has been asked by Miko, my former student, who's at Santa Barbara, to come to Santa Barbara and be the full-time preacher, because Miko got a full-time job making really good money, and he doesn't want to give that job up because he wants to help support the church. And so he said, "We've got a good situation. Mark can come in, take my place as the full-time guy. I'll work and do everything I can." He's also a great preacher, so he continues to do that, and they share the duties. And now Mark and Jason have their little brother, who's 15 years old, leading singing and prayers and communion, doing other things. So those brothers, a great family in Christ. Another congregation is Pagong Sili, which is in Pangasinan Province. This is a new church plant from a year and a half ago. This property you're looking at is kind of unusually big, and we pay 3,000 pesos a month for that property, which is $55. So that's a really good situation and a good deal. Danielle Nachoman is one of my former students as well, and he's the preacher there. Lena Mercedes, church building. And, of course, David knows about this situation, how they got started 9 years ago. Today, I think they celebrated their 9th anniversary, I think. Did you get message? Okay, I didn't either, but I think today they got that done. So next year is their 10th anniversary, and Edmar, the preacher, is begging me to be there. So maybe you all can go celebrate 10th anniversary. Okay. This is the congregation, and probably 40% are young people. And you've heard of Each One, Reach One. Well, that's kind of a basic theme among Christians in the Philippines. They just invite their friends to church from school and work and so on. It's just a great situation. Anytime they have a celebration like that, they do a roasted pig. You know, it's been rotated over a spit. You know, some of you say yuck, I say yum. This is some of the best eating you'll ever do. I mean, this is delicious. And after church, they take the hatchet or the cleaver or whatever. They start, and that meat's flying everywhere. It's just, but boy, is it good. They cut it up. And did you get one of these, David, when you were there? I think so, yeah. Okay. Did you like it? Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. David's into all kinds of unique things, even more than me, and I'm the longtime missionary. But I know what to be careful of, and he's not sure about that yet. So, young girl named Joycey May was recently baptized into Christ, another friend of a member of the congregation. Now, the congregation you just saw, Edmar Leoneza is the preacher. This is his brother who passed away about a year and 3 months ago, November of 24. He was 31 years old. He had an enlarged heart. He died, and we don't have anyone to go up to where he was preaching, resurrecting his home congregation, but I want you all to be in prayer about that we find a good preacher to go there. It's a great congregation. It's kind of a new church plant, even though it's a resurrection of an existing congregation, because they were just about dead, and they've resurrected, and Now they have a really good membership, as you can see here. And while Edward was sick, there again, I took it on myself to preach a lesson from Nehemiah on leadership, teamwork, and unity, how everyone needed to pitch in and do the work and do what they could do, what needed to be done, because Edward could only muster the energy to preach and teach on Sunday, but he couldn't go out and do the everyday work. His body was dwindling, and so they needed help. And I was just impressing on the congregation how, you know, they all needed to step up and do what needed to be done. Just down the road from Raina Mercedes is Erwin and Cleofe Pondai in Santiago City. They just started a new congregation in their home. They have four sons, three of which have gone through Bible school. The fourth one will, because they make their sons go to 2 years of Bible school before they do anything else in life. They just want them to be impressed with ministry no matter what else they do in life. And they're just a great family. They meet in their living room of their home. Last June, I was privileged to speak at their second service. Cleofe and Filipinos don't brag on themselves. They don't project themselves. And I had no idea she was this bright. I knew she was smart, but I mean, I didn't know her accomplishments. She has a master's degree in childhood education. So she wanted to do a community tutorial program like Joyce is doing. I showed you before, and the whole idea is to reach the parents and families through the children, obviously, while teaching the children conversational English, math, spelling, other skills, and so on. And they've baptized three ladies into Christ, and they're now studying with all three of their husbands to become Christians. So pray about that. Rod and Julianne Omanito started this Padre congregation in La Union province. They have four children, but three of them are daughters, and the youngest is a son. Great family in Christ, doing a great work. Now, this is a brainchild that Karen had about 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago. She wanted to do what we have not done here in America, or should have done a long time ago. When evolution and atheism started creeping into secular education, into our universities and high schools, Karen wanted to kind of head that off because that's starting up in the Philippines. And so she got a hold of Kyle Butt, who has now donated almost 4,000 books to what we're doing, and she wanted to have seminars help young people defend their Christian faith and to meet those challenges when they're being taught those things in school. And so these Truth Be Told seminars are influencing hundreds of youth in many locations. This is a typical audience, inviting them from many different areas to come into a congregation and listen to speakers. They will choose a chapter out of the book and then speak on that chapter. And so it's just a wonderful program. Back when I was there in October, we did a two-day event held at the local municipal hall in Aguilar at the behest and blessing of the mayor herself, who asked our two preachers, Danielle John Ray, to come in and set this thing up. And Kyle said, we want every attendee of every Truth Be Told seminar to have one of these books. Not just the leaders, not just the speakers. We want everybody. And so we've sent loads and loads and loads of these books. And we targeted non-Christian young people out there. And for those 2 days, we had 100-plus in attendance each day. Miko spoke on the nature, purpose, and scope of science in the Bible. And this young man, Moises Carrillo, he's 29 years old. He's a brainiac. Both these guys are way above my pay grade on this. How did life get here? And boy, are they good. One of the other recent works we took on is Sobol Church of Christ with Lamar Kotbagan. Lamar is one of my former preacher students, but he is the son that Karen never had. She just fell in love with Lamar. Just saw the potential that he had when she first met him at Raina Mercedes when he was an assistant preacher there. And she said, I just love that young man. I just think he's destined for great things. And he is. He put together what's called CLS, Christian Learning System. And Karen raised the money for him to have all the technological equipment for it. And what we're doing is utilizing preachers and even females in throughout the Philippines, but a lot of them in our team, to go online and do online classes for ordinary Christians who cannot go to Bible school, but they still want to learn certain things and learn how to be leaders. And they record these sessions, so if you can't attend live, then you can go back and learn by going through the classes. And so that's what Lamar put together. That was his idea, and Karen got excited about that. Just a great family, his wife Rose Marie, and that little sweet girl, Lay Marie, she and I bonded too. And so just a great situation. And that congregation had a Truth Be Told seminar, 145 in attendance at that one. We put books in a public library, in a national high school, and in Tarlac State University. And those books are being utilized by the students themselves. I'm just pushing through here. Now, Kyle Butt came back in November for 8 days. He spoke 5 times, and he landed on a Friday, and we immediately had to fly Friday morning way up north, where he spoke on Saturday morning, and he spoke at a national a cappella event that's held every year, and there were about 500 or more who attended that event. He was scheduled to speak on Sunday twice, but we had to leave on Saturday after he spoke because of this right here. We had a typhoon moving in, Typhoon Uwan. It interrupted his Sunday assignment up there where we were going in Ilagan. You look at that typhoon right there and then look at the size of the country itself from here to here. That typhoon is the size of the whole country. Now, that country stretches from a distance of about Columbus, Ohio to Miami, Florida. That's how big the typhoon was. And so we got out because they canceled all the flights except for the ones on Saturday. So we got out. And as God's providence would have it, he assigned Kyle to speak twice at the Metro South congregation in Manila. He spoke twice on Tuesday night as he was scheduled to anyway. And we had a great turnout. And Kyle just made a great impression. So we hung out with some of the YPs on our day off. Went to the Mall of Asia. YPs are young professionals, by the way, not just young people. They can stand for both. And this is an interesting thing. I'm going to end with this. David's been here. I think Bella and maybe Grayson as well. We all went. Yeah. The Manila American Cemetery is 152 acres. And this is an aerial shot of it as you look at it. And it is symmetrically done. If you've ever been to Arlington National Cemetery or seen pictures of it, it pretty much mirrors in essence and in appearance as Arlington National. And this cemetery site is the largest in the world. Some people think Normandy is, but this one is the largest in the world, administered by the American Battle Commission in the number of graves and of those missing whose names are recorded on the walls of the memorial. Americans and Filipinos who fought together in World War II, we saved them from Japanese imperialism, which spills over into spiritual areas in the church because they love Americans. It's one of the few places we can go in the world where we Americans are loved and respected. And that is passed down generationally. So we have teenagers who love to hang around us, 17 to 70-year-olds. You know, they want to hang around us. And it's largely because of this background that that is the case. So thank you, Lord, and thank you, Central, for everything you do, how you encourage us in so many ways, not just your financial support, but your involvement to send us these cards and things. We know you're involved. We know you stay in tune with what we're doing. So thank you so much. As we offer the invitation of the Lord tonight, I don't know what you may have seen that may have been, I know you're inspired because this is the Lord's work and he's doing mighty things through his providence and work in the Philippines, and he's allowing all of us to be a part of that. And so if it inspired you in any way with your mind and heart to come to Christ in a greater, more dedicated way, we pray that you'll do that tonight and make that decision. If you're not a Christian, and you know what the gospel is, and you've been taught, and you're on the verge of committing to Christ, why not do that tonight? Why not use this as an inspiration for what these young people do in the Philippines, and come to Christ and do that tonight? Let's stand and sing.